Gina Boucher for presenting. I'm sorry I was late. And thanks for Penn as well for lending me his lap. So now let's go to the talk. And my talk will be on geodesics in random regular graphs. And actually, it's more directed into presenting how a probabilistic approach is used to solving a problem than a research problem. And it was based on things that I did with Pavel Kralak, that was a postdoc at the University of Waterloo. So this talk will have mainly three parts. The first one will be probabilistic preliminaries that will define what we mean by the probabilistic methods. And then I will discuss a little bit what random regular graphs are. And finally, I will use probabilistic methods in random regular graphs to talk about geodesics in random regular graphs. So first thing, a probability space in our case will just be a set and a function. The set will be finite, so it's a very simple probabilistic space. And the function, of course, takes values between 0 and 1 and sums to 1. So that's pretty easy. So one example of a probability space would be G and P, and those are called the random graphs where edges appear with probability P. So what is the set S? The set S is the set of labeled graphs on n vertices. And I say that a given graph has a probability given by this function. And notice that in this function, P appears the number of edges times. So every edge is chosen to appear with probability P. And the non-edges appear with probability 1 minus P. So it's a simple probability space to generate graphs on n vertices. And we can create a graph. So at the beginning, I don't have a graph. Those are all the candidates for being edges in my graph. So here I have 5 vertices. I'd say the probability is 1/2. So maybe let's see. We'll see if this edge is on the graph. So with probability 1/2, it is. And it turns out that it is. And then we'll do that for the other graphs as well. And then maybe this one won't be in the graph. And we'll do that for all the edges. And in the end, we'll have a graph. And it's obtained by the probability I mentioned before. OK. So an event in the probability space is just a subset of our original set. And a random variable over a probability space is just a function that takes elements of our set to the reals. It could be generalized, but that's OK. So for instance, compared to our probability space of random graphs, I could say that the event is the set of all labeled 3 regular graphs. So that's a subset of our labeled graphs. And a function could say for each graph, it will have value 1 if it's 3 regular and 0 if it's not. And here, the relationship between those two things are quite obvious. And we say that this random variable is an indicator random variable for that event. And we say that an event in this probability space of random graphs holds asymptotically almost surely if the limit when n goes to infinity of the probability of the event goes to 0. So if I'm looking at graphs bigger and bigger, and the event will have probability tending to 0. And a very simple case of that would be the event of the graph being complete. So the probability that the graph is complete on n vertices is if all the edges are taken. And if P is not 1, in which case everybody would be chosen always, then this probability will go to 0 as n goes to infinity. And so asymptotically, almost surely, our random graph is not complete. OK. And two quantities I will define are expected values. So expected values value is just a weighted mean on the values of a random variable. So I have my random variable x. I sum over all the elements of the probability space, value of x, and the probability that it will happen. And the variance of x is defined through the expectation, and it just measures how far the random variable is from its expected value. So a very basic result, or a basic inequality, makes use of the expected value, and it's called the Markov inequality. And it's a very, very simple result. So I'll show you the proof just to convince you that it's really very, very simple. So the probability that x is greater than a number is smaller than the expectation of the random variable divided by t. And the proof goes like that. So I have the expected number. That's the definition I sum over everybody. Instead of summing over everybody, I could sum over those that are greater than t and then over those that are not. Since my random variable is non-negative, this guy here is certainly greater or equal to 0. And this guy here is smaller or equal than that. So that implies Markov inequality, and it's really simple. A second uses the variance, and it's called Chebyshev's inequality. And its proof is almost as simple. So the probability that this is true, okay, I can take squares at both sides. Now, this is a non-negative random variable. I can apply Markov's inequality. Applying Markov's inequality, I will have that. And this is the definition of variance. So it proves Markov's inequality. So now we will try to define a similar probability space, but instead of being over random graphs, I would want my graph to be regular. It's a little bit more difficult at first thought because I cannot choose the edges independently. As soon as one edge was chosen, the degree of the vertex is fixed, so the next edges are less likely. Or if I start rejecting edges, the next ones will be more likely. So we'll have to find another approach. And the approach we'll do is what's called the matching. It's a matching approach. So what we'll do is the following. We want to find regular graphs on 5 vertices, and they are 2 regular. So for every vertex, I will split the vertex into, in this case, 2 small points. And now I'll take a random matching on these points here. And so let's say my random matching is like that. Now I can put those the split vertices together again, and that will generate a graph. And all the matchings will be taken with the same probability. What's the problem that can arise in this case is that the matching I could choose could be like that. And then in the end, I wouldn't have a graph as I had before. Now it's a multigraph. And but the good thing about it is that if I want to generate random regular graphs, I would generate over and over again, and every time I have something like that, I would just reject it. And the good news is that the probability is positive that I will get a graph, a simple graph, instead of getting a multigraph. So to describe our random regular graph, we'll look at the probability space of all the pairings. So it's clear to see that all the simple graphs correspond to the same number of pairings, de factorial to the n, actually, because you just have to assign to the points that you have there which one is the end of each vertex, each edge. And then, and if A is an event in the random regular graph, then I can look at all the pairings that generate A as a graph. And then this will generate an event in the pairing model. And then the probability on the graph is the same as the probability over the pairing model and and so and divided by the probability of being zero. Okay. And so, as I said, the probability of being simple is asymptotic to a constant on D. So when n gets big, and so if I can prove that an event occurs asymptotically almost surely to the space of pairings, as a consequence, it will also hold asymptotically almost surely for random regular graphs. So I just have to consider the pairings if I want to talk about asymptotically almost surely results. Okay. So now, as I said, I would apply this to geodesics. And what are geodesics? It's a fancy name, but it only means that it's the shortest path between two vertices. And the name comes from shortest path on general surfaces. And a theorem I will present is the following, is that if I have two vertices in a graph that is a random deregular graph, and D is a constant, it's not log n or anything. So it's a given number. And then I have any function going to infinity, then the distance between U and V will be pretty much given when I'm considering huge graphs, of course, because the distance between U and V asymptotically almost surely will be between log minus this function and log plus this function. Okay, so let's see how we could prove something like that with the tools we have. So the first thing, we want to prove that the lower bound, that the distance of U and V is at least that much. So since I want to prove it AAS, what I have to do is to prove that the distance, the probability of the distance being smaller than that goes to zero. So that's what I have to do. And so I define a random variable that counts the number of paths from U and V that have length at most L. So by Markov's inequality, we had T there and it was divided by T, but if T is 1, so the probability that I have at least one path of length at most L is smaller or equal to the expectation. And so that easily implies that the probability that I don't have any path, that is the probability that the variable is smaller than 1 since it's a discrete variable, it's at least 1 minus the expectation. So to get the result above, I just have to prove that the expectation goes to 0 when L has the size log d minus 1 of n minus omega. So, okay, that's what I want to prove. How am I going to do that? I'll define a family. For each k, I can define pk, the family of uv paths that have length exactly k. And given a path, I will introduce an indicator random variable for this path. And it will say, okay, it's 1 if the path is actually there. It's 0 if it's not in any of the given graphs. So obviously, the variable counting the number of paths simply sums over all the individual paths until length L. And expectation is a linear function, so or operator, so the second thing holds as well. Okay, so we want to prove that the expectation that is given by that is going to 0 as n goes to infinity. Okay, so the first thing is, what's the probability, or what's the expectation of having one given path of length k? So here, so we have u and v, and we have a path of length k. At the beginning, when I'm constructing, exposing this path, since I'm looking at the pairing model, here I'll have d empty dots. And the first vertex that is next will have d dots as well. And so, and the probability that I have one given edge is 1 over the n, because I'm taking a matching and all edges have the same probability in the matching. So if I multiply d times d divided by that, I'll have the first term there. But of course, when I go on, now I don't have d points anymore. I just have d minus 1. 1 has been taken for the first one, and the rest will go like that. So I'll have d from the next one, d minus 1 from this one. And that will give the expression there. Okay. So all of them have exactly the same expectation, and the expectation is given by that function there. The second thing is, what's the size of that, of the family of paths? That's pretty easy to find. The only thing I have to choose, k minus 1 vertices in the middle, and I have to assign an order to them. So I choose k minus 1 from the remaining n minus 2 vertices, and I assign an order to the vertices. So that means that the expectation of XL is given by this number, and then this number here, so say Cn minus 2 k minus 1, so this is, and that's pretty much asymptotically it's equal to that. And asymptotically as well, n minus 2 or n will give the same. So that's how things simplify, and you get that expression there. And then when you sum, there you get an element that is something multiplied by a constant multiplied by d minus 1 to the l, and you have a 1 over n there. And if l has the value as above, that will just give me d minus 1 to the minus omega, and minus omega goes to minus infinity as n goes to infinity. So, yeah. So I, doing the calculations, I can show the lower bound. Now, for the upper bound, we'll do a similar thing. I won't do all the details, don't worry. It's just, okay, we want to prove that the probability of the distance being greater than that, it goes to zero as well. I'll have the same random variable, but now I will use Chebyshev inequality. And Chebyshev inequality with t equals to the expectation. So the probability of XL being zero is certainly smaller or equal than that, because that's only one of the cases when this other event occurs. And then here I apply Chebyshev inequality, and I get the variance over the expectation square. We already calculated the expectation before. And so now the only thing we would have to calculate the variance, and so that the ratio there goes to zero. And the difference is that when I'm calculating the variance, I will be considering how two paths between those interact. So it's a little bit more, there are more calculations involved, but the idea is the same simple idea. Okay, so using similar techniques or similar methods, we can prove other configurations in a random regular graph. For instance, that the eraser. Anyway, so it's not that important. I can use a corner here. So we can show that if you have two geodesics going from U to V, and two points here, and we take them, two points being the midpoints, and the geodesics are taking AAS, then those two guys will be far away as well. So we'll say that the graph is spherical. I want to find shortcuts. If I want to go from here to here, and I know that that those two paths are geodesics, I won't do a lot better than just following. And the way of doing it is to define random variables that account to those things and doing some calculations. And then, of course, since I'm talking about AAS things and I'm mentioning about having two geodesics, we could ask, okay, but when will that happen? Are we going to find two geodesics between two points with positive probability, because if we are not, then the last theorem wouldn't mean anything, because we wouldn't find two geodesics anyway, so the probability would be zero immediately, or go to zero immediately. And then it turns out that the probability of having one, a unique geodesic, is given by this pretty formula, and that number is a constant between 0 and 1, depending on D. And how to prove a result like that? So we want to prove a result like that. Again, we use a simple probabilistic tool, and the probabilistic tool we use is the method of moments. I won't talk a lot about it today, but what we show is that the moments approach the moments of a Poisson random variable, and then we can use, and then that we can prove that if that happens, then the probabilities approach the probabilities in a Poisson distribution, and then that's how those numbers arise. So I guess the objective of my talk today was to present probabilistic methods in combinatorics, and I would be glad if people could say that yes, we can use basic probabilistic tools to derive interesting combinatorial results. So thanks for your attention.